Blog Talk Radio.
Charging calls that went untapped, that went
like ghost calls there that just went the opposite direction. A couple of out of bounds and tip balls that went towards the other direction. So it's like, man, you know, very disappointing in what we saw for as outcome of officiating. But let's not lose our minds, because we all know that Coach Mike Krzyzewski had, you know, had this rookie come off the bench and just really just went to town. Boy, that guy was just unstoppable. I think out of their freshmen had like, what, 60 points? Some ridiculous record set number. Okafor really wasn't that much of a factor. I mean, he scored in a clutch situation, but ultimately he only had 10 points and like 3 rebounds. I think the guy that was really was two people. It was I think the guy's name was Allen, and of course Tyus Jones, which was, you know, both point guards or shooting guards. Both of those guys are big time. That guy that came off the bench, man, I think it was Allen. He was just he just came out there and he willed his way in there. It didn't look so fantastic, but he made it happen, right, Lou? He came off the bench and was just striking. Left, right, they couldn't stop him. It was making plays, and of course, towards clutch time, that's when Jones kind of came in and just closed and sealed it there. And when they got up late in the fourth quarter, it was pretty much a wrap from that point on. But I tell you, very, very impressive by the gameplay. But then, like we say, brother, you know, I look on the other side of the ball. Kaminsky's the real deal, right? Come on, we can give him credit. I mean, he looked good. And he said, another 21-12 night. He's a pretty solid big man, you know. I liken him to
for the college game, at least.
Gasol. Yeah, good college. It's going to be a strong transition. But I like him. I think he's going to be a solid NBA player. I think he's going to be at least a 14-point, 10-rebound, 8-rebound type of player on the next level. And he reminds me of Pau Gasol. I watch him. He plays very similar to Gasol. He moves very, you know, fluid like that. But then again, the level of competition is another case, right? That's all ultimately the problem in college basketball. When you're matched up against not really elite talent, you know, because a lot of those guys are 1 year, they still have yet to develop theirs, and I don't believe a lot of them are going to develop since they're leaving so early. Really only one or two of those. I watched Jahlil Okafor, and I got to tell you, Lou, I'm not really impressed by him. You know, I watched a couple of his games early on, because I watched some Duke matchups and games, and not saying he didn't look good, but every time I watch him, he looks kind of slow. He can't shoot free throws. He's like a poor man's DeAndre Jordan, and not even really, you know, not even in that same category in that league, in my opinion. I think DeAndre Jordan is exceptional on the inside, and he's quick. I'm not very impressed with Oakland. I'm just not. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not. Not at all, Lou. And let me get your feedback on it, and tell me what you think.
As far as the whole game went down as I expected to. The only letdown I have about it is that Wisconsin, they had them up by like 10 or 9, you know, coming into like 2 minutes left. All they had to do was take care of the ball, you know, all you have to do, especially when you're in the lead, continue to do the things that you got in the lead. And for the most part, they didn't do that. They got the lead, and then once Duke started making a little run, they started pretty much like the panic. They started going away from the things that they did that secured them that 9-point lead. That's pretty much what lost the game for them.
It to me looked like they got complacent towards the end, and they just really couldn't recover from that quick onslaught by Duke, because they made it quick. It was like back to back to back, and they just kept making plays. And at one point, it was somewhat tied, and then all of a sudden, once Duke got ahead, they never relinquished the lead, and they just kept opening the gap, and then they called that last time out. But at that point, the game was over. So you know, just you know, very disappointing on that aspect. But, you know, it was a great game. And I guess the more talented team, as far as talent, actually won. But I just wanted to say this. You ever notice that, man? Wisconsin travels good, man. Really, the Big Ten of basketball travels good, right? You see all those red shirts there? And Duke, that's not, you know, for us. Duke is like, you know, one of the biggest college programs ever. But they were playing in Indiana, and I'm telling you, that Wisconsin traveled well. They came in by the drove, and they supported the team. Look, they was there. They was definitely in the house, and I saw a whole bunch of red. I did see some blue, but it wasn't many. And is it me, or is it am I just losing my mind here? When I look at Duke and Kentucky's uniform, it almost looks exactly the same, like the white uniform. It looks almost
like
the
same color. Pretty much the same colors.
Like, same color, same design. It's just a different lettering. Like crazy. But basically, that's how that game went. And Krzyzewski wins number 5. I mean, he was already going as, you know, one of the best coaches, especially during this era, you know, that there's been in a long time since, you know, the Wooden. And there was another coach that's really good who played in a different game, as I segue that, and the college women's team who won its 10th college basketball title, that Gino Auriemma, UConn. Yeah, you know. Every year,
yeah,
man,
another championship, yeah, you know, just another one.
Like, it's like it's not even competitive. At least when Pat Summitt was there, he had legitimate competition. Like every year, they either be Tennessee or UConn. Every year, at least they would have a challenge. It's like they've won it, but the past 2 or 3 seasons, I think the last team to win it outside of them was Baylor, right? And Brittany Griner. I think that was the last time. And UConn, every year, UConn. They'll always end up
they had,
with one or no game.
Yeah, I think Maryland won it. That was like way back. That was like 2004.
Oh, yeah. At that point, there's always like an oddball team. Like Baylor's an oddball team. But then it's like it's always Tennessee, UConn. And then Summit went away, and then now it's just UConn now. They don't really have anybody competing against them because, look, they already start in. They bring in their like, sophomore. And see, this is why the girls or the women's league is more competitive to watch than the men's is because they stay. They stay the whole 4 years. 4 years. That's what they do.
Yeah.
They stay the 4 years. And they dominate every season. And it's like, man, they can't be stopped. And, boy, I tell you, it's crazy. But, you know, that coach there, man, can you imagine him going to the NBA? I think he's just going to retire right there at UConn.
Yeah.
I think he won't have any success in the
NBA.
I think he would.
He'll be all right. It'll be all right, but it's not going to translate the same.
You know why I think it would? Because I think basically it's almost like, Lou, you're fighting, instead of training grown men to fight, you're training teenagers, right? So it's just because the fact that they're teenagers. If a teenager versus faces off with a man, it's not going to be as effective as a man facing a man. But it's like you still have the plan and the X's and O's down. So all you would need to do is translate it to the men's. And I think he could do it. I think when you dominate that well and when you recruit that well, I think he could. I honestly believe it. If he was to go in the NBA, I think it would. And he's not going to go into the NBA. So let's just, you know, I'm not going to sit here and shoot stars.
Don't need him over there. Keep winning for the Huskies.
You know what I mean? But look at him. Keep him up there in Connecticut, huh?
That's right. Keep winning for the New England area. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, they always seem to be winning at something. But, you know, you look at him, I think that if he was to come in the NBA, he could win by his second year. I think he would learn it, and after that he would translate and, you know, and elevate to that level. But, you know, hey, man, he's not – he's only one league. He can't do it in that capacity. He's not going to have a lot of confidence. And that's basically what happened. It's sad and disappointing, but I'm pretty sure that's going to be the limit of what's going
Why
on.
Why that
but
be disappointing?
Obviously, in my opinion. Yeah, because, it's like sometimes I think we as a whole, we tend to, like, keep people boxed in on what we do. We typecast individuals. We limit them to one role and feel that that's all they can do and that's all they're worthy of. So,
but what if that?
Sometimes.
What if that individual, that's just what they want to do?
No, if they want to do it, that's different. That's different. You know, I'm not saying either way if that's just what they want to do, going against what they want to do. But I'm saying, like, if he did want to elevate, I think he could. I think he'd be a pretty good, solid coach. And some people just have the ability, they just have the gift. And when you win that consistently the way he does and coach the way he does, I think he can do that on any level. I don't care whether it's men, women, or even cats for that matter. He has a gift, that kind of dominance and gift. Now, if there would have ever been, or if there were to ever be, a female basketball coach, the only one that would have had an opportunity, and I would have said maybe have a female coaching a male's game, would have been Pat Summitt. There's nobody greater than her.
We have one that's on the assistant coaching staff now in the NBA.
Yeah, I saw that. She's a Popovich disciple. So
yeah, Becky Hammond.
Yeah, yeah. She and, you know, eventually. But, you know, this is the thing. This is what I see. I don't want to see people lose. You know what I'm saying? And I like progression. But see, then again, it's like I think you have to be careful. Sometimes you get to the point to where, you know, now it's going to be like, okay, I don't mind women being in authoritative roles in athletics or in sports. But I think you have to be careful because then you want to start integrating, you know, the players. You know what I mean? Like, oh, now we can draft women and get them to play with men. And if there's a girl that's out there that is like that, I could see it. You know what I mean? I could see it, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if that's the case, then what's the point of even having the WNBA then?
Yeah, no, you got to have a WNBA. Because I wouldn't want to see that happen. That's what I'm saying. I feel like there's going to be somebody that comes along that's going to look like they can do it. And you know what? There might be. But it's like you have to be careful. You have to keep people and their perspective because, you know, it still is a physical sport and men are more physical and they're bigger and they are faster.
That's pretty much it. That's really the only difference between the two. Men are more physical and stronger, and aside from athleticism, but you take that away, the game is basically the same. You got to run the court, dribble, shoot, cut.
It's sad to say, and I don't want to say this, but true. I don't really. But it's like I think women have better, like, more and more developed minds intellectually when it comes to understanding plays. Like I see, like, most women, they'll have, like, this vision. Like, women have great vision and a way of understanding where they could see, how would we say, they could see different aspects of gameplay and movement. Like, they might have intellectual prowess when it comes to, how would I say, understanding play. So I could say they could be more revolutionary. And that's why I think they make a lot of times good managers. And that's why I think a lot of times they do well in management, because they have a certain perspective that's different from men that they can utilize, right? But it's almost like with men, it's just so much of a physical situation that they would have so much of an advantage. It's like you could have the most, you know, the top basketball WNBA player, and you could match him up against the top high school player, and that top high school player is going to win probably 9 times out of 10. Just be realistic, right? If he's the, you know, best prospect in the country, and he's 18 years old, and he's facing up against, say, Diana Taurasi, he's going to give that guy the advantage, right? Be real. She can shoot, but she's not going to be as fast as him. She's not going to be as long as him. And she's not going to be physical enough to stop him. And she'll put up points, but, you know, it'll be really a long shot for her to actually win. So that's all I'm saying. It's like, you know, I don't mind with women integrating in the front office floor, because they have great points of view and different perspectives that can be utilized more so than what men do. But as far as integrating them into the physical aspect of the game, I don't think that's where you want to go. I think that's where, you know, and I, on certain levels, I see some of these, you know, there's some women and females that, and I don't say women, like, you know, teenagers that get on football fields with men, like little many younger, you know, men. And it's like, I don't think that's ever a good idea. So.
Yeah.
And so before I get put off the air.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. You know how it is, the black mafia, right? Say anything wrong,
yeah.
This is what you get.
No, we're just in an era where people just want to complain just to complain. And the wrong people are given a voice. That's the issue.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Absolute truth. And what I tell you, you know, that's pretty much the truth of that. So we have two champions, or 2015 champions, men's and women's respectively. It goes Duke and it goes UConn. And you know what? The more I realize, it's not as much parity when it comes to championships when you really look at it. We really haven't had a champion that doesn't look like a champion over the past, what, 10, 15 years? Usually a big-time school, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to, like, the playoff aspect of it, I mean, you see teams that actually leak through and slide by, but typically whoever wants a championship has typically been a mainstay in the power. So that's what I've noticed, and that's what I've kind of recognized and seen. So moving forward, going into the NBA, of course, getting close to the playoffs, and of course, Paul George has returned, and we looked at some of these standings, and Lou, can you believe it? Your guy, Brad Stevens, is just putting Boston right there as the seventh seed. Right now, if the playoffs would be Cleveland against Boston, and boy, did we see that a few, like maybe 6-7 years back, remember? And man, those were some good matchups, and man, Boston used to hurt them. You know what I realized that I just saw recently? Who didn't like LeBron James was Joakim Noah. I didn't even know that until I just saw that on ESPN. It was like, you know, listen, I thought it was just like a competitive thing, but they actually genuinely don't like each other. I guess.
Yeah, Joakim is not a fan.
I don't know why. He shouldn't be a fan of Derrick Rose then. I don't understand that. he doesn't work nearly as hard, and he doesn't have nearly the competitive edge that he has. And but I guess because they both wear the same uniform, right? So makes sense in that regard. Derrick Rose just came back last night, scored 9 points, and they ended up losing to the Orlando Magic. If you, this is just terrible. That's just been on a downward spiral. You know, two more games in a row. Before then, they lost 3 games. Basically let Toronto right back in there. They got the tied record, but I think they have the edge of his head-to-head. But for some reason, Toronto's still a 3 seed over Chicago being a 4 seed, and that's possibly because they're in separate divisions. But yep. who wins the tiebreaker in that situation, Lou?
I don't know what the series record between the two are. So
it's four to nothing. Chicago.
4-0. Well, Chicago will get it.
They will get that 3rd seed.
There's no debate about that.
Because
Then there's still the whole division leading thing. If that's a part of it, then they'll still have the 3rd seed.
See, that's what I'm thinking. I think that division thing is part of it, because you look in the other division and the Clippers and San Antonio both have better records than the Portland Trailblazers. And Trailblazers still have the 4th seed. So, listen, I don't get it.
Yeah, because Toronto. Toronto's in the Atlantic Division. Chicago's in the Central. So Toronto will still have that seed.
Well, I tell you, all it really means is that Chicago's going to get put out in the first round. They're not going to beat Washington. I don't have confidence in them whatsoever. The Wizards look like they're back on the upward spiral. They're on a 4-game winning streak. And Cleveland's just, they're coasting. They're sitting there 51-27. I tell you what, they're the best team in the East that I've seen. They just are. Paul George in Indiana, they're sitting there on the outside looking in, outside of Brooklyn. Look at this. Brooklyn and Boston are both tied records, 1-7, 1-7. Of course, Miami and the Pacers both have 35. We can pretty much go ahead and count Charlotte out. I mean, there's only, 4 games left? They're not officially out, right? But, I mean, they're on a losing
not
streak.
Yet.
So everybody else is winning. So, I mean, they got about 2 more chances. If they don't get it together by then, they're finished and they're done. So, it doesn't look too promising for that. Going to Western Conference, and pretty much, look, Oklahoma City has basically played their way out on the outside here, losing 4 games in a row. Whoa, right? Scott Brooks, does he keep his job after this season? What do you think?
Yeah, he should. He should. I mean, the team that they got, that they have now, they finally actually have a team where they have another point guard and have decent, you know, big men and other, you know, very talented role players, and they keep them around. Because we still don't know how this team can gel once everyone is back together. Because remember, Serge Ibaka has been injured for a while also. So we still don't know how this whole team works together. It would be kind of stupid of them to even get rid of them after this.
Yeah, they might as well just. They need to keep what they have intact as much as possible. You know, Kevin Durant's contract is going to come into question. Is it going to stay? Is it going to leave? If I'm him, I stay because I want the ring. But most people don't think like that. The money means more than anything else. I think he's basically in talks or basically has been, you know, featured to say he wants to go back home to D.C. and do something over there with Washington or possibly even go to New York with Phil and the guys. And who knows, maybe even
don't do that.
Westbrook does the same. Yeah. So we don't know. Looking at it, doesn't look clean, doesn't look good, but it smells bad. So we definitely have to keep a close eye on that. On a serious note, Tibbs has been rumored to say he's going to be out of here next season. And, man, that would be the stupidest thing that they ever did. But then again, it is Chicago, so it wouldn't be too stupid. Almost be like Norm. You know what I mean? I mean, you sign – hey, that's something. You sign a guy to all this money. And, of course, you use his potential, but he basically – you know, damaged the whole future of the franchise. And the coach, who has basically done it without the franchise player, has been successful every season, and yet you're threatening to push him out. That's just, I don't know, man. These people. I don't get it, Lou. I don't get it. So, you know, they will continue to be ignorant. Look at San Antonio once again winning over 50 games again. It's just, they're the hottest team right now. Right now. And they're peaking at the right time. Of course, you know, Golden State's been resting players. At this present point, the Rockets have to face off against San Antonio. I don't think I would want that on my worst enemy.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want that.
Houston.
Yeah, they'll definitely be out of there. Because, you know, you're looking at them and what they do. Harden's been great, but, I mean, Howard has struggled this whole season, so.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, Harden, he doesn't have it defensively for Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard's the man on the team now, so.
Yeah. They're letting him shine, too, right? They're giving him the ability to really create his own shots and stuff and take over, which is, you know, typical of what he does, man. That coach, man, that genius coach they have. The guy with the gray hair and the gray beard, he just finds a way every season. Right, man, and everybody has the right concept. They pretty much set the Eagles aside and they're a champion for the fifth time in his tenure. So, man, it's like, what more is there really to say? But it's definitely the truth. Look at that. Really? I'm looking at this. Man, everybody's tied at the number two seed. Almost, just about. Everybody has 53. Look at this. From San Antonio up to the second seed, everybody's 53 and something. 53-25 for Portland. They're obviously not going to get it. They're not going to win it. But you look at the Clippers. You look at San Antonio. Bro, San Antonio has a legitimate chance to be the number two seed. Wow.
I told you.
It's crazy. They continue to go on that run. They would actually face against
all they
Dallas.
All they got to do is have a better win. All they got to do is win the division because they're in the same division with Houston. So win that division, they get third.
Wow. I think
they might also have the season series. I think they're beating Houston in the season series. So if it comes down to that, they should get it.
Man. I tell you, that's crazy, man. That's some crazy stuff. What we're seeing here. But, you know, the West is just wide open. This is wonderful basketball. This is great. Wouldn't it be great, even though you'd like to see Oklahoma, but wouldn't you like to see Anthony Davis get in there and really, like, what he would do?
I think Golden State would rather have Oklahoma than Anthony Davis.
Yeah, because the matchup doesn't go well for them. You know what I mean? I don't think it would look good. The matchup wouldn't be good for them at all. You know, but I'm going to look at the schedule. I'm going to look at their matchups and see where they actually faced off against each other and see how it ended. Okay, so they lost to Golden State. Ooh, they got blown out. And Davis had 30 points the first time they played. So, again, they lost in overtime and 120-122, so 2-0. They play them again and lost again. They got blown out. Well, it hasn't been really pretty for them, and they lost another close game. They lost all four games to Golden State. Oh, no, actually, my bad. They beat them.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Golden State this last time.
Yep.
Wait a minute. Have I been reading this thing wrong? Although I might have been reading this thing wrong. Yeah, this is why. Okay, lost. Yeah. And it looks like They won two.
They won a couple of nights. They beat Golden State a couple of nights ago.
Yeah, they beat them 103-100, right? So, yeah, okay, they did. They beat them. They lost three times, but they just lost to them. But, I mean, it's almost like Golden State where they're playing with the full staff, but Davis is tight. Now, you know what I'm going to look at? I'm going to look at Oklahoma City schedule and see how they match up against against Golden State. I think they've just been falling off though these past few weeks. They're not nearly as good over the course of what they've been doing. They've been struggling mightily. So.
Yep. Running out of gas.
Yeah. Man, you know what? This can tell you what, boy. This sometimes you have these devices and they don't actually act right. And I kind of give you a little hard time here. Jeez. What's going on here? Look at the full schedule. You know, ESPN, they got that new page. Everything looks great. Okay, so here we go, Lou. Okay, they lost to Golden State by 5. They lost again by 5. So they lost again and got blown out. And they won the last time they played. 127-115. Did they play them a fifth time? Nope. So they won the last time they played, but that was when it was hot. That's when, you know, Westbrook went on that crazy streak. But really, they, you know, Golden State has winning records against both of them. Who would they rather face? If I had to look at the schedule, I think they would rather – they'd probably rather face the other team. I think they'd rather face New Orleans because these games with Oklahoma City was pretty close all except for one, you know. All the rest of the games was, like, really close. I mean, one was 16 – lost by 16, but the other two times they only lost by 5. So, some against it, but that was, you know, with Serge Ibaka in the lineup, and maybe Kevin Durant was there for like one of the other ones. So, man, how you like it? So, that's typical of what we notice here, and that's kind of what the situation is. But right now, Lou, it looks to me, in my opinion, my humblest opinion, that I say that San Antonio is the best team in the well, maybe I shouldn't say that, but I am. I say right now they're the hottest team in the West. Golden State probably is the best team because they're Golden State is so serious. I don't even think they're playing serious right now. But then you look in the Eastern Conference, obviously Cleveland. Cleveland just on a tear, but we can't discount or disregard Atlanta because they do got 59 wins. They will go on 60. I think they make it to the conference finals. They're not going to, you know, unless Cleveland is in the same division, but I don't think so. I think they'll all be on the opposite ends of the bracket, right? 1 and 2 stay on the opposite end. And, yeah, I just don't see it. I see them matching up against Cleveland, and I see Cleveland representing the East. And the Western Conference is more of a toss-up for me. The way I watch, when I see Golden State and – we all know about San Antonio. If you had a wild card, maybe the Clippers, right?
Yeah, that's a wild, wild card.
It seems like it. But they, once, you know, they're like consistent. It's like every time you hear it, it's like you feel like they're falling off, but then you look at them. I mean, they're 53 games. Jeez. So. That's pretty much what I noticed, man. Anything you want to add there before I hit the NFL?
Well, we have a few other interesting things that happened in the NBA.
Okay.
We're going to start off with the lighter stuff with the last game that Milwaukee played. Of course, they lost the game. But the interesting fact about that is that Giannis Antetokounmpo didn't play in the game. Jason Kidd sat him down. They said it was coach's decision. And he was interviewed he was interviewed after the game. All he kept, all his replies back to the reporters asking him the question was coach's decision. That's all he was saying. And and when you go to Giannis, Giannis was like, I don't know why I was benched for the whole game either.
Yeah, he's lying.
Yeah. It's a situation where, yeah, Jason Kidd was resting, you know, his main guys. Doesn't want to admit to it. That was just coach's decision. Yeah, you're just resting your player. Just say that. You got like four games left. Just say that. Can't really take Jason Kidd for his word anyway. Remember, this is the same guy that pulled a couple of ranky stunts during games as a coach and a player.
And that juice cup was like the funniest thing ever, man. There was nothing funnier than that juice cup situation. That was so fun. Like, man.
Yep.
But, you know, I don't necessarily, but everybody knows basically the craft of what's going on or the observation of what's going on. I think kids, Lou, you there?
Hello?
What's that? Yeah. Lost. That was just bad connection there, once again. Losing reception. Great. But,
Jason Kidd got angry.
Obviously, we're talking about him. So, but, you know, like I said, we're getting close to the playoffs. If Milwaukee gets in there, I mean, at the Bethesda time, all they would be facing off against was on Toronto. I think that's their best shot of actually advancing. I don't think it would be a good matchup for Chicago. Them facing Chicago, for some reason, they always struggle with them. And we know if they fall down to seven, which they won't, they would have had a face-off against Cleveland. So their best opportunity to advance with matchups, I think they match up better against that Toronto team than they do any of the other top three teams. So that's pretty much what I see, Luke. Give me another one.
Well, this involves the Indiana Pacers and the Atlanta Hawks.
Ah.
I think they had a game recently. I don't remember if it was in Indiana or in Atlanta. But Indiana's big man, what was his name? I forgot his name. Chris Poland or something like that. This is another one of these situations where nothing good happens after 1 a.m. And especially when you're out at the club. He is out at the club arguing with his ex-fiance. A guy rolls up, gets involved in the situation. I don't know why. And it ends up being a nasty situation where Chris ends up getting stabbed. I think the fiance gets stabbed as well, and another female. So they're both fine. They went to the hospital, so they're cleared. Nothing real serious. But on top of that situation, you had a couple of players from the Atlanta Hawks as well that was there, one of them being on Cephalosha. And Spefalosha, he is now on the injured list. They're saying it's a broken leg.
Huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With it. And it happened during the altercation because they also, the guy who, you know, assaulted, he is arrested, but also both the Hawk players are also arrested for obstructing the crime scene and resisting arrest.
Mm-hmm. It's just really a mixture of just ignorance all the way around.
Basically.
I mean, I guess the lesson here is you should be gearing up for the playoffs, but instead you're out in the club getting stabbed and the other one breaking his leg and obstructing justice. And, you know, it's never a recipe for success. At 4 a.m., you know, And you wonder why, but nevertheless, it happens, and I guess it'll be a part of a legitimate reason. Now, I definitely will get rid of Atlanta Hawks and put them out of the mix. It's definitely going to be Cleveland and the other team in the Eastern Conference. I don't know who the other team is. I don't really see another team being that team. Maybe I would give it to, I said Washington. I think they're better. So that's why I would go ahead and get the edge to right now in the Eastern Conference. I mean, I don't trust Atlanta. Indiana, I don't think it's going to make enough push, even though Paul George kind of slid himself in there, inserted himself. I just don't see it. So they can move forward, get into the NFL before it's all over. Of course, you know, there's big rumors going around between the San Diego Chargers and the Tennessee Titans taking a trade and getting ready to pick up Phillip Rivers out of San Diego. And let me tell you something. See, I'm a Tennessee Titans fan, as you know, Lou. Hasn't been a quarterback since McNair. And I'll even go further than that. I was a big Vince Young fan. With him and Chris Johnson being in the backfield, they made a lot of plays and ran a lot of, you know, high-profile, high-quick offense like a run-and-gun or a ride-and-decide type of offense, spread offense, and I thought it was effective. But see, trade that pick and get Phillip Rivers, we're back on the map again. We're not going to win anything big, you know, but we'll at least have a playoff opportunity and challenge your boy over there in Indianapolis to that division, because I'm telling you, the Colts have just dominated everything over there since he's been there. I mean, Andrew Luck is the truth. He's obviously going to be one of the best quarterbacks in history, and when it goes down, you ought to look at it. He's only been in the league two seasons, or three seasons, I should say. In each of those seasons, his yardage keeps going up. And I think he led the league or was second in the league in passing yards. So it's only going to get better for him. He doesn't get worse. He gets better. And there's no competition. I mean, who you got? You got Jacksonville, you got Houston, and you got Tennessee. That's like an easy situation. But, I mean, you bring and you add Phillip Rivers to that mix, and then you maybe give him a fairly decent running back, I think you have a serious problem. He's gonna pose a big-time threat. He'll elevate the play of the wide receivers, and wow, back on again. So I hope to see that, and hopefully it'll be the case, but you know these things. I know that Mariota got called in for Tampa Bay for a quick workout, and it's like, come on. You know, nobody believes it. We all know what's going on with that. It's getting close to the time. We have to drum up a little bit of insight, a little bit of noise for the NFL draft to come around so we can have conversations. Jameis Winston will be the first pick of the draft. It's hands down. I don't see a comparison between those two when it comes to who is more NFL ready out of the two. We know it's a mental thing with Winston. We know that he doesn't have, you know, the maturity up to date, but to his credit, there haven't been any issues since his last incident standing on the table at Florida State. And we got to remember, he's only lost one game in his entire career as a collegiate football player, and that was against Oregon, and that wasn't the reason why they lost. If anything, that was the reason why they was in the game in the first place, because the rest of the team is pretty much choked. But those are the two things that are occurring, those two. I don't know if you really heard this, Lou. Running back Le'Veon Bell suspended for 3 games for substance abuse. Correct me if I'm wrong, but did he not get in trouble last season with LeGarrette Blount? Remember we had the weed situation early on that got caught? And and here we go again. Another substance. This guy, let me tell you, if he stays out of, and he can't stay out of trouble, now he's gonna miss the first 3 games. You know, he was virtually unstoppable, He was virtually unstoppable in Pittsburgh last season, because he's the best catch run quarter running back since, you know, Marshall Faulk. I mean, this guy, he, you know, have, I think, the most yards from scrimmage on both sides of the ball, catching and receiving and rushing last season. So, you know, without him, Pittsburgh looked somewhat pedestrian, couldn't put up an offense to go further themselves in the playoffs. So it just doesn't look good for him. That's a bad situation, and I don't know what he's going to do. But also, reports saying that Johnny Manziel, basically in rehab, is basically is 90% out of support for his team. And it's and what do you say, Lou, that situation? You drafted this guy 22nd last season, knowing all his issues, and then now he inserts himself in a rehab. He helps himself. And you know, this is what happened. You know what I mean? So
yep.
I don't know what else to say about that one. It's pretty much like, you know, that whole organization in Cleveland doesn't seem to have an idea of what they're doing, which is why they're always a laughing stock every season. So we can go and tally back and forth all the losses and all the, you know, ridiculous plays. You know, just the year before, you had Trent Richardson and Brandon Weeden, and both of them was off the team. They're off the roster, and they were first-round picks just 2 years ago. Here you go with Johnny Manziel, another first-round pick, and you're talking about you don't know if he's a franchise quarterback, and you're not even going to give him a shot. So, but they're just throwing away their picks, and they're going to be, you know, excelling themselves great in mediocrity. So I don't know what else to even mention about them. And the things that they're doing, I think it's pretty pathetic to even watch. Then now you look at what's going on with Aaron Hernandez and his trial. It's basically, they've got the rule on it. And I got money that he's guilty. What about you?
Yeah, you know, if they actually have common sense, that would be the thing to do.
I'm going to give him credit because, listen, the evidence is just so overwhelming. Just listen, you know, listen to the facts of it. He was basically in the same car. Another guy was there with him. Oh, yeah, he got out of the car, but I don't know what happened to him after that. Come on, man. He did it. Enough facts to put it. I mean, none of the lies really helped. If anything, the lies hurt the situation worse for him. You know what I mean? Would have just been better off just telling the truth. You'd be better off saying you got to altercation, take the manslaughter charge, and do less time. But, you know, obviously he's going to lie because he's probably, you know, most bipolar individual that I've ever seen. You know, I've never seen a person that when you look at him in interviews and you just get fooled instantly. But then again, that's most killers, right? Look at him. Most people that have no conscience, you don't even know they're killers half of the time. I mean, most times everybody has this perception that most people that commit crimes and murder are tattooed renegades, but in all honesty, they look like Mr. Rogers, right? They have the little sweater vest, and they always have the nice, clean khakis, and they're the ones that are harboring bodies in their basement, you know, and having, you know, human skin hung up in their closet like suits, you know. So you really just don't know. People come off a particular way, and you take them for one way, and then they turn out doing something crazy and being guilty of something you would never imagine, and that's basically what he did. You know, he pulled the wool over everybody's eyes. I mean, he even fooled Belichick. How many people can say that, right? Yeah. Look at this. He fooled Urban Meyer. He fooled Bill Belichick. And he fooled the Patriots owner, Robert Kraft. He basically got by all of them. Is that not the organizations that are toughest to get into? Florida at the time when Urban Meyer was there was the number one recruiting, you know, team, college, or university in the whole country at the time. People would throw themselves to get into that program. He made it, right? Then you turn around and you look at what went down in the Patriots. Who in their right mind wouldn't try to play with Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? You see what I'm saying? So let's not overlook the fact that, hey, he didn't just fool just regular people. He fooled people that specialize in character and doing their homework and their background. And sometimes that's how it works out. Some people slither right through the cracks and they go unnoticed.
Yep.
And they're able to fool. So he's just perfected the craft of lying. And I guess that's not much of a surprise to most people that actually see things that go down. So they get better at it. Mm-hmm. So Lou, anything else to add before I go ahead and we wrap it up for this week?
A couple of other things, you know, as far as basketball goes, mainly to college basketball. We have a couple of new coaches for next season. One, Avery Johnson, will be coaching Alabama.
Yeah.
And the other is Chris Mullin will now be the coach for St. John's.
Oh,
his old school.
Wow. Going back to his old school. You forgot to mention Shaka Smart leaving VCU, going to Texas next season. So we've got some interesting changes. Right now, if we had to pick who's going to succeed the quickest and first out of those three, Texas, Alabama, or St. John's. I got Texas.
St. John's.
Okay, there it is. We'll see next season, and we'll get prepped up for that. But for now, once again, wrapping it up, we basically, you know, I don't know, Lou, we've gone through, I don't know, this like 200th episode here, I think. But once again, great accomplishment. We move forward. Get people ready for Sunday. We'll have plenty of topics to talk about, NFL, college, collegiate football and basketball and so on and so forth. With that said, we'll leave with beautiful music, right, Lou? Sports Lounge. I'm your host, Marlon, and of course, that's the man, Pretty Lou. We say peace.
Amen.